Hi, this is Julie Paul, and I'm going to be reading the beginning of a story from my collection, The Jealousy Bone. The story is called Boring Baby. It's kind of freaking me out, to be honest. You're offering me the one thing I've wanted more than anything. Until this morning, I hadn't had a sip in like 6 months. A baby. Not a cleanse. I had a baby. God, that tastes amazing. What is it? Guatemalan? I thought so. I know my beans. Yeah, she's sweet. She's a baby. Oh, what the hell. I'll be honest. I wish I could give that baby some coffee directly. Because here's something I know for sure. I have a boring baby. I tell her this. I say, you're boring, when she just lies there, watching the dust move. I say, let's get this show on the road. I look at the other parents, carting around their blobs in pastel velour onesies. They look happy, placid, as if this is the pinnacle of human existence, cooing at the baby bunnies in the petting zoo, watching the lambs harass the mother sheep for milk. The baby humans sit there, some of them laughing and pointing at the fuzzy ducklings. If they're like my baby, they sleep through most of it. Wake up, I say. Stop being so dull. Do you think I'm here for my own good? Don't look at me that way. I'm serious. This kid is as active as an end table. Mind if I have another cup of coffee? If you really want to know, the baby looks like Tim. She has squints for eyes and straight, pokey hair. Her head is half of her. Her hats nearly fit me. No, I'm not a pinhead. Look at me. I'm just petite-headed. But anyway, this morning started out like every other these days. I woke while it was still dark, with dead arms and that baby freaking out in her crib. By the time I got the feeling back, she was on full blast. And when she latched on, it was with a vengeance, little hiccup sobs still making her body twitch. Tim moaned, turned over, put his second pillow over his head, and fell back into sleep. Once the baby finally had her fill of me, she passed out. I moved her into the middle of our king-size bed and tried to go to sleep, pillow over my own head. I dreamt she was half the size of a cell phone. I stuck her in my pocket and went to an arcade fire show. After the concert, she was still sleeping, and I thought, good, see, no harm done. I took her out and threw her into the air and caught her as she fell back to me. I did it over and over, trying to make her laugh. But she started screaming. She was really working it up, until Tim jiggled my shoulder. Tony, he mumbled. For once, he'd heard her first. By 5 a.m., I was on the road. Every light was green for me. I floated through the empty streets like a jubilant skater girl, nothing to slow me down. The boulevards were getting sprinkled, despite severe water restrictions, and the sound of the water under my wheels made me think of 18-wheelers on real highways, rushing past in a sudden summer squall, the car being pushed and pulled by torrents of speeding air and spray. All those signs overhead, so many possible exits. Another downside to being on Vancouver Island, although most people, unlike me, come and never want to leave. There's no triple-digit limit. When I reached my highway, 80 felt like 120, and I joined the light traffic heading north. There were people in the cars around me, people who needed coffee and didn't want 7-Eleven, people who couldn't wait to get off this island, people not even awake, but starting their long journey across the country or across the globe, people who like to drive as the light comes in, people driving their children to the ferry to go back to the other parent after a weekend of gaming and pancakes for dinner. People driving a screaming infant around in hope that the speed and rush and noise of a car on a road would be enough to make it shut up before they started to break down, open, apart. It was so quiet in my car. The car seat base could have been something else entirely strapped onto the seat. I don't know what. Nothing comes to mind right now. But still, I drove. The road rose slightly, and to my right a valley was fleecy with fog. Beyond this there was ocean and then land, abreast of an American mountain peak pushing into an orange sky's mouth. Oh, my God, listen to me. It was a beautiful snow-capped mountain. It had nothing at all to do with suckling. I let myself take dangerously long glances, then descended to field level again and smelled the corn stalks growing their white tasseled heads off, level with the road. Something Tim would find beautiful. Something he would stop for, to shoot film of, to make us late for wherever we were heading. But Tim can't drive. He can't swim either. He rides a bike, but only when absolutely necessary. Tim is also afraid to go on planes, hasn't set foot in an airport since well before you know when. He is not alone in this, I know, but in him it seems like a weakness. He just has too many of these quirks, as he calls them. "I'm not as brave as you," he tells me. You should have seen his face when I was in labor. My God, I think he would have fainted if he wasn't afraid of hitting his precious head. I used to work as a pharmaceutical rep. I used to drive these roads, and other roads, back east in Wrongtario, plying my wares to sleep-deprived doctors and disinterested pharmacists, pushing pills to save lives. I used to dress up for my job, jackets and skirts and pumps and lacy underwear. I liked my job. I miss it. Now I live in faded yoga garb, the uniform in my new place of employment. This esteemed job involves sitting in a house for 23 hours a day and calling it a life. They call it baby jail for a reason.